B'siyata d'Shmaya, we're going to learn Moed Katan Daf Ches. We're going to start in the Mishnah, approximately halfway down from the beginning of the Omid. Says the Mishnah, V'oid Omer Reb Meir. Besides the halacha we saw in the previous Mishnah from Reb Meir regarding the Kohen being allowed to go on Chol HaMoed and see a nega of Tzoras, Reb Meir said something else. Melakeit odom atzmois aviv ve'imoi. A person is allowed to gather together the bones, the remains of his father or mother after they'd passed away. And typically they would be buried, and at some point after the burial, when the flesh had decomposed, they would collect the bones and rebury the bones in the place, in the kivrei savoisam, in the tombs, in the graves, of together with their ancestors. Then one's allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed, mepnei shesimcha hiloi, because he's very happy that his parents are now being buried with their ancestors. And therefore he will not be pained, he will not have tzar on the Yom Tov, because on Yom Tov there's a mitzvah of v'samachta b'chagecha. Rabbi Yossi says, evel hu loy. He says, no, he says you should not collect the bones, because there's some level of mourning when one comes into contact again with the remains of deceased parents. Lo yo'irir odom al meisei, another halacha, that in the 30 days before Yom Tov, a person should not arouse himself in mourning and to eulogize over somebody who had passed away, even a month or two before Yom Tov, or even earlier. In the 30 days before Yom Tov, a person should not arouse himself, v'lo yaspidenu, nor should he eulogize the mace, a person who's deceased, if they passed away in the 30 days before Yom Tov, then he should not eulogize them koidim leregel shleishim yom, in the 30 days before Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, Uraminu, we're going to ask a seeming contradiction. Hamelakeit atzomois oviv ve'imoi, if somebody gathers the bones of his father or mother, hareza misabel aleim kol hayom, then that day he's got to be on some level of mourning during that day. But in the evening, after the end of the day, he no longer is in mourning over them. Rav Chisda said, even if you didn't gather the bones, and even if you didn't see them, you just saw the sheets that they were wrapped in, that the bones are being wrapped in his sheets, even then, he's all the while that they've not been buried, he's got to be in mourning. So in our Mishnah it says that Malakit Adam Atzmeis Aviv Imoi Mipnei Shesimcha Hiloi. And this seems to contradict the Braisa. Omer Abaya Eimo Mipnei Shesimchas Regel Olov. That even though, as the Braisa said, that under normal circumstances a person who comes into contact with the remains of his deceased parent would be in mourning, however, the Mishnah says because it's Chol HaMoed, because it's Yom Tov, and a person is so engaged with the Simchas Yom Tov, that will prevent him from feelings of tzar and mourning when gathering the bones of his parents. And therefore the Mishnah says, because it's Yom Tov, you're allowed to do it, and there's no issue of mourning. Continues the Gemara of Lo Ya'arer Al Meisei, that we saw in the Mishnah, a person is not allowed to arouse himself to remember and to feel the pain of losing a close relative, and one shouldn't do that in the 30 days before Yom Tov. May lo ya'arer al meisei. What does it mean not to arouse oneself? What sort of arousal is one talking about? Omarav kadhodar sabdono b'marova, in Eretz Yisrael, in the West, it was called Marova. Then it was typical that the eulogizers, the people giving the hespedim, would go round and they would omre, and they would say, primarily to the people, to the relatives of that deceased person, Yivkun ime kol merira liba, that cry with him, cry with me, this person, this eulogizer would go around all those who are in pain from having lost this person. And that is called arousing people or re-arousing them about losing a relative, and therefore one should not do that 30 days before Yom Tov. Koidom regel shloishim yom, asks the Gemara, Maishna shloishim yom. What's this 30 days before Yom Tov? Why is it just 30 days before Yom Tov, not more, not less? Omer of Kahana, Omer of Yudah, Marav. Maise ba'odom echo, there was an incident with a person, Shekines Mois, he would collect money or set aside money more accurately, la'alos l'regel, he would have a box and he would put every day or whenever he would put some money aside in order to be able to do the mitzvah of going to the Beis HaMikdash for Yom Tov. And then a eulogizer came, va'omad al pesach beisoy, and stood at his door, and this eulogizer was going to go and arouse the people, the relatives, to mourn and cry over somebody who had passed away, but there's a fee for that. V'notloson ishtoy, his wife took that money that was set aside for going to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, v'notnoson loy, and gave it to this savdon, v'nimna, and therefore he was prevented, v'le'olo, and he couldn't go to Yerushalayim, he couldn't be oyle regel. And Bo'is HaShoah, at that point, after that incident, Omru the Chachomim said, Lo ye'oirer odom al meisoy, a person should not arouse himself over the dead, v'lo yaspidenu, nor should he eulogize somebody who had died, koidem l'regel shleishim yom, none of this should be done in the 30 days before Yom Tov, in fear that the money set aside would go to the sapdon, and they wouldn't have money to go and be oyle regel. That is how what Rav said. Shmuel Omar. Shmuel gave a different reason. Shmuel said, "Lefi she'ein ames mishtakach min aleiv shleishim yom," because a deceased person doesn't get forgotten for 30 days. And if you're going to eulogize somebody in the 30 days before Yom Tov, then you're going to continue and eulogize him and be maspid him and be in pain over the passing of that person through the Yom Tov. And therefore, in the 30 days before Yom Tov, you should not be engaged in hesped. My binayu, what's the difference between Rav's explanation, there was an issue with the money, and Shmuel's explanation, because a person, his mind will be on the mace and he'll continue eulogizing on Yom Tov? What would be the difference, the halachic ramification of these two? Ikka binayu, dekovid b'chinam. If you have somebody who's happy to be a sabdon, to eulogize for free of charge, then no problem. According to Rav, there's no issue with it, because there's no problem of the money that's been set aside for Aliyah L'Regel will go to this person. But according to Shmuel, who says that Ein Ameis Mishtakach Min Aleiv Shloshim Yom, the issue will still apply. Continues the next Mishnah. Ein Choifrin, one does not dig on Chol HaMoed, Kuchin Ukvoris, which are different types of burial caves and tombs. B'moed, you're not allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed because it's extreme effort. They typically would have dug these graves even before a person passed away so that they should be ready when he passes away. One's not allowed to dig that on Chol HaMoed. Aval mechanchim es hakuchin b'moed, but one's allowed to modify these caves on Chol HaMoed. We'll see in the Gemara what that means. Continues the Mishnah. V'oisin nivreches b'moed, one's allowed to make a washing pond on Chol HaMoed. It's not so much effort. V'oroin, and you're allowed to make a coffin im hameis b'chotzer, with the deceased person in the chotzer. If in the courtyard the deceased person is there, you're allowed to make him a coffin, because since the deceased person is there, it will be clear to everybody that you're doing this just because the deceased person is here and needs it. But if the deceased person is not here, people will not realize that, and people will say that he's busy working, doing woodwork and chopping wood on Chol HaMoed, and that's something which is not allowed. Rabbi Yehuda says that on Chol HaMoed you're not allowed to make a coffin at all. Elohim kein yesh imoy nesorim. If you already have boards beforehand, you're allowed to assemble the coffin. But if you don't have the boards, you're not allowed to saw up the wood on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, my kuchin. The Mishnah mentioned that we don't dig on Chol HaMoed kuchin, which we said were types of caves. My kvoris, the Mishnah mentioned kuchin ukvoris, caves, niches, tombs. What are these? Omer of Yehuda, kuchin b'chafira. The activity that would be done, engaged in a concept called chafira, called kuchin, is digging. And ukvoris, and the activity that was involved with the tombs, is a type of a building type of activity. This is not to suggest that one would bury people in buildings. That's not the topic here. The activity that was done in preparing the burial, which is called kvoris, was an act of building. In the graves, they would make walls. The Rishonim, the Rambam, and others have different explanations. But this is not to suggest that one is allowed to bury somebody inside a wall or inside a building. Tanya Nami Hochi, we saw Brisa to this effect. Elu hein kuchin ve'elu hein kvoris, kuchin b'chafira u'kvoris b'binyan. Exactly what Rav Yehuda said, we saw in the Brisa, that preparing kuchin is an activity of digging, and preparing kvoris is an activity of building. We saw in the Mishnah that you're allowed to modify these caves. Ketzad mechanchim, what would they do? Omer of Yehuda, shem hoya oruch, if it was too long, mekatzra, you can shorten it, b'masnita tona. And in the Braisa we learned, marich boy, umarchiv boy, that you can lengthen it if necessary, and widen it if necessary, that those little bits of work you can do. But to actually dig it from scratch, that not. Continues the Gemara, v'oisin nivreches chulu, we saw that you're allowed to make a washing pond on Chol HaMoed. My nivreches, what is this nivreches? Omer of Yehuda, zu bekia, it's bekia. Bekia is a pond. V'otanya, did we not learn in a braisa, ha-nivreches v'ha-bekia? And so you see clearly from that tisefta that there's one thing is called nivreches, there's another thing called bekia, so bekia wouldn't be the explanation of nivreches. Omar Abaya v'itemer Rav Kahana, either Abaya or Rav Kahana said both of them are ponds. However, there's a primary pond and there's a secondary pond where the overflow of the main pond would flow into the smaller pond. So that's Giha, which is the primary pond, Ubergia, and the smaller one. The one is the Nivreches and one is the Bakia. Continues the Gemara, V'orin, you're allowed to build a coffin in Mameis Bechotza with the deceased person in that courtyard where you're preparing the coffin. Tanina lahadaton rabbonon, we learnt in a braisa, oisin kol tzorki ameis, you can do all the needs of a dead person on Chol HaMoed, goizin loisari, to cut off his hair, umachapsin loiksusoi, and to wash the clothes, the shrouds that you need for him, voisim loorin, and you can make him a coffin, umenasrin. Hamanusorin me'er of Yomtov. And Minasorim, sorry. Orin Minasorim Hamanusorim me'er of Yomtov. One's allowed to make a coffin from boards that have been sawed and prepared from before Yomtov, as we saw. Rabshim ben Gamliel Oimir Af Mavin Eitzim Umanasun. Rabshim ben Gamliel says you can even bring woods that have not been prepared and you can saw them to size, Betzina Besaych Besi, provided you do it in private inside your home and not in a public area. In a public area, people will see you cutting up wood and won't know why you're doing it. And on Chol HaMoed, they would think you're doing an Isser. And therefore, if you need to, take the woods and chop them up in your home and in private. And in Mirkat Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.